Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, a top ceviche podcast from
the creators of ceviche.
Yeah, you from so the creators of Read It and Weep.
That.
So this week we're talking about episode 7, which is called 10-year anniversary, and we've brought back some familiar faces, and we're reminiscing. So are you guys excited to reminisce?
Yeah.
I liked the last time we reminisced.
Yeah, that was good.
I think we as a group reminisce pretty much every episode, but that's okay.
Actually, can we think back to the last time we reminisced? Because I feel like that was the best one.
Oh, yeah. That gives me a lot of warm fuzzies. So as I introduce all these voices you're hearing on the mic, I'd like each of you to give me a quick food from 10 years ago that you enjoyed eating. And maybe you still enjoy. I don't know your life. I sort of do. We're friends.
Parts.
We've been friends that long.
You made it so creepy that way, though.
So let's start in the Brooklyn studio with me. I have Chris.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody. 10 years ago, I was making tofu green curry simmer sauce with from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pan-based simmer sauce. Still pretty good on a budget.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan. Wait, just to clarify, how long ago was 10 years?
Take today's
9 plus 1 years.
So it was the start of your spring semester of your junior year, Alex.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. I remember.
I am Tanya. I'm your host. I just realized I don't necessarily think I said that before. So in case you're wondering who Mystery Deep Voice was, that's me.
Good old Mystery Deep Voice.
Good old Mystery Deep Voice. My 10 years ago food was probably rice cakes, but like the white cheddar kind.
Which
I think I classified
expect.
As some sort of like terrible, like self-hating, guilt-free styrofoam snack. Yeah, I loved those things. It's been a long time since I thought about them. Really good reminiscing. In the Bay Area, we have Ezra and Sarah and Caleb, who's actually doing a shift on an organic farm birding some free-range animals, so he might not be able to call in so much. But Ez and Sarah, why don't you share some of your 10-year food memories?
So 10 years ago, Sarah and I were studying abroad in Costa Rica together. And so we were at undergrad different places, but we didn't want to meet up in Costa Rica for study abroad. So for me, it'd be, I guess, gallo pinto, the national dish.
Yeah.
That was a good thing. Mm.
That was a super cute thing you guys did, by the way, studying abroad together. Good job on that.
Yeah, we missed each other. We were like, hey, let's not be apart this semester. Ow!
That's such a good idea.
And Caleb's glad you did that.
Yeah.
Which makes it sound like he was conceived in Costa Rica, which he was not.
No. He really wasn't.
Long gestation period.
But who knows? Maybe Costa Rica was the glue, the forever glue.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's when we just bond together.
Yeah.
We're like, you know what? Now we know each other in different countries.
The gallo pinto paste of our love.
As the saying goes.
Gosh, you guys this are sweet.
This is the cutest story ever about two people who just dated a baby for 10 years.
Yeah. it came out looking
like a raisin.
What? That's not how that works. In Portland, we have Alex and Megan. Let's hear some 10-year food memories from y'all.
I'll go first because Megan was studying abroad without me that semester, and so I was putting on the junior 15, and I was stress eating a lot of ice cream sundaes with one of the plastic gallon tubs of cheap vanilla ice cream, peanut butter, and chocolate sauce.
This is not a happy story so far, Alex. Have to turn around.
Are you kidding? We had such good times eating those.
Chris and I ate a lot. Chris would come by my apartment, and we would have sundaes, and it was decent. It was one of the only good parts about that semester.
Yeah.
Megan, were you eating something
good
more interesting
times.
Than that?
Yeah, I was in Botswana. And I was eating a lot of porridge made from sorghum. But sometimes for breakfast, we got to eat like basically like these sweet fried dough balls. And
ooh, sweet fried dough balls.
Those were pretty good. Yeah. So
that sounds luxurious. I enjoyed that.
Sweet fried dough balls seem like a good way to break up the sorghum porridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think you're like a culture worth any time unless you have some sort of fried dough.
Yeah, it is kind of, you know, when people think that we're all very different, you know, it's like, how come then every group of humans figured out to fry some dough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Independently. Like, we're all from the same gene pool.
Yeah.
We all want to just be happy,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Deep down inside, we're all just fatties. We just...
We've all had to pick an ingredient in 20 seconds and then get 20 minutes to make a dish in front of...
What a great
people.
Segue, Tanya.
It's true. It's just something that we've all done. So this week, our unifying experience was in front of Padma and Antonio Lofaso. And like I said, so we are down to 10 chefs. Each chef had 20 seconds. And I sort of enjoyed the placement of these ingredients. Like, you couldn't just walk to one table, pick an ingredient, and walk over and set it down. You really did have to sprint across the kitchen into a private area, grab an ingredient, and then race it to the table and set it down just in time.
Yeah, Top Chef, James Beard nominees, known for their Ibex-like agility.
Yeah, I was curious about that. So if they hadn't made it back to the table on time, would that ingredient just go away?
Yeah,
yeah. If they don't have a quote-unquote runner's build.
Yeah, Carl was great. He seemed like he had a lot of time. I think that the count got a little slower for some of the chefs.
Mm. Possible.
It's possible. Yeah.
I like the idea that they would be like, they'd not get all the way back, and it would be like, now you just have to stand there and watch the rest of this quick fire.
Holding a chicken.
holding a
chicken. So there's a little bit of gamesmanship in this. The 10 ingredients, each one selected by a different chef, in total are the pool from which you have to choose to make your dish.
Yeah, you can't use any ingredients that aren't those. So, like, somebody had to pick salt. Somebody had to pick oil and, you know, other stuff like that.
Well, I mean, nobody had to pick anything. That was part of the interesting issue. So you end up with chicken, beef, pepper, salt, vinegar, olive oil, garlic, mushrooms, tomatoes, and celery, which
Jason.
Got mad shade from a bunch of people. And
then mad props
used.
From the judges. What up, celery?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't the worst list of ingredients. I think they got it pretty good, actually.
I thought it was really interesting, and I like that they ended up with two proteins, which was surprising, but also kind of nice.
Yeah, you got your pick. And, like, I love that Cajun Man 5000 picks chicken and then doesn't use chicken.
Yeah.
He's just...
Yeah. Just yeah, I don't know. You have the freedom to choose, for
sure.
Yeah,
maybe it's just like, hey, free chicken. Because that's what I'd be like.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look at the list here. I guess some people use the celery, but Jason was so confident that every chef was going to thank him for giving the celery.
Well, I think a lot more people use the celery than people thought would use the celery.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm.
Some people might have used the herbaceous elements... that was what I thought was really neat about that, was that they were like, oh yeah, and also because we don't need fresh herbs, but you can pick the herb leaves off celery, which I did not know, because mm-hmm. that's yeah. the garbage yeah. part.
I wish.
Oh, how wrong you are.
I wish someone had played on celery, you know, like ants on a log. That was one of my favorites.
Mushroom.
What would?
Yeah. Mushrooms and garlic on a log.
I was going to say mushrooms and garlic on beef carpaccio on celery.
On a log. Everything should be on a log now.
Don't worry, it's just a log draped with raw meat.
Yeah.
How are we feeling? Still good?
Celery tartare. Oh, or carpaccio of celery.
Celery three ways. Celery, celery, celery.
Oh, nobody's ever going to do that unless, you know, unless Jason had stayed in the game.
Oh, Jason.
Spoiler alert.
I've given you a celery stick. It's fresh,
in a Bloody
it's
Mary inside a Mad Men office I faithfully recreated.
It's an ancient Catalonian recipe.
So let's talk about some of the performances that we got in our quick fire. Immunity is the grand prize, and ugh. Jeremy knocks it out of the park with a ceviche. Oh
my
no,
boy.
I'm sorry, I almost said a ceviche. Oh no,
very reasonable mistake.
Yeah, there's a lot of ceviche going around this episode.
It's essentially it's beef ceviche, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he does essentially. And the nice thing, I guess, the nice thing about Jeremy is like, he goes in with a plan, and the plan often, more often than not, works out. I mean, in this episode, we see both sides of that coin. But for the quickfire, his technique provides the result that he had planned that it would provide, and that's, you know, that's nifty.
It is nifty, although when he crashed and burned, we got to hear the first instance of the saddest sentence on Top Chef, which is, you're lucky you had immunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's like the it's like the wrong kid died sentence from like Walk the Line, you know.
This is an audio podcast, but the face that I made when you said that.
Yeah, I had no idea where you're going with that either.
Just, no,
which kid is the right kid to die, Ezra?
Well, no, the
Johnny Cash. The Johnny Cash, parent said that
he's always like, you know, the wrong kid died. It's like the other, you know,
about his brother.
Oh, yeah, that's not great.
Like, cause it always happens in the tragic biopics where it's like the wrong kid died. Mm. Anyway,
yeah,
go watch JFK Walk the Line, guys, or don't.
Yeah. It's a really good movie. It is good movie. Yeah,
it holds up.
Good reminiscing, guys. Good reminiscing.
So can I voice a concern about how many people shaved things?
Sure.
There were shaved mushrooms and shaved beef.
Like, not enough or too many?
It was a lot of shaving, I thought.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that a technique you don't care for, Alex?
It is a term that is unappetizing.
Do you want trimming instead?
Trimming? Trimming
thinly sliced? Totally
quaffing?
Would thinly sliced work for you?
Swapping. Quaffed beef I wouldn't be a fan of.
No, nobody is.
Gently zhuzhed.
Yeah, bedhead beef.
There's a reason that cooking and like hairstyling terms don't mix.
Yeah, they usually combine.
Like, nobody talks about blowing their beef dry, you know?
Well, a Brazilian beef blowout.
I think we've all had one of those.
Oh. I think maybe that's what happened to Karen Salad, really, is she had a beef blowout.
Oh. Yeah, there was
a little too meaty, wasn't it?
Some unsuccessful salads in this mix, for sure.
Well, yeah, when you don't have a vegetable, then maybe salad might not be the best direction.
I feel like that place across the street from us is always serving salads where I'm like, no, you're supposed to put vegetables in it. You can't just have meat.
Just a meat salad?
You can't
just have meat and call it a salad?
It does feel unfair to the salad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have to compete with a pile of shaved beef.
Meat Salad is a good band name, though.
Meat Salad.
We had the first, like, I don't know, what felt like the first maybe cracks in the Cajun Man 5000 veneer, which is that his technique is starting to disintegrate a little bit under pressure. The plating is getting progressively uglier.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of bad.
We did have that crack last week, and then it just continued cracking here. But then...
Yeah, I felt like he saved it with some solid flavors that made me forget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the salt flavors were the spackle last week. We had no spackle this week.
Yeah, this week the spackle dried out.
In the quick fire challenge, sure, but in the elimination, he did a lot better. He had that gumbo and you know.
But in general, if you were to look at him, I think the summary of him would be great flavors, a bit of a mess. That's
sure.
It's the way he presents.
Cajun Man 5000, you taste great. But.
Is it just that we don't have the sharp relief of Wesley as the bigger mess now?
Exactly.
And now he's gone to the top of the messy totem pole.
It's true. Yeah, he looked so much cleaner next to Pigpen.
Yeah, he's de facto Captain Mess. So that's his bad.
Oh, it should also be noted that we are back in Los Angeles, and this entire episode takes place in the Top Chef kitchen.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Which is rad.
Saving money. Feels different. Top Chef way.
It also should be noted that if we're going to reminisce, why bring Antonia back?
Aww. What?
I like her.
Harsh words, Alex. Say more about this.
You guys all like Antonia all of a sudden?
I don't have
She's fine.
Or I have.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I've never been like, I've never like gotten an Antonia t-shirt, but I don't have bad feelings about her by any means.
Oh, man.
Who would take a strong stance against Antonia?
I don't know. Alex. I feel like she didn't do very well, and then she was so excited to be cousins with Mike Isabella like 42 times removed, and that annoyed me.
I would be excited about that, and at that distance as well.
I felt like that was editing so much more than it was actually her excitement. That was a lot of editing.
Keep talking about how you're cousins. Let's hear more about that.
Yeah.
The thing is,
and then they ran
that.
It before the commercial break, and then they ran the actual segment. And like, it was too many times to hear them talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When she came back, she was on All Stars, I think, right?
She was. Yeah.
That was the cousins thing, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was much stronger on All Stars. She kind of had a reverse blaze where she was kind of a, you know, well, no, I don't think she was a negative force on her real season, but All Stars, she was, I thought, a delight.
Mm. And then we saw her on the duels, too.
Duels,
Oh, that's right.
I feel like she keeps coming back and not impressing
goofier on duels.
I don't remember how she did on duels.
Did she win? I don't know. She seemed like no one could beat her on duels. Maybe I remember.
No, there's
that was
one.
Cousin one. That was when she was against Mike Isabella, was on duels, I thought.
Teacher versus preacher.
She found out he was a cousin. On All Stars.
Oh, right, because they did that family tree thing.
Yeah, like Washington's library or something, and then they looked at the family trees and stuff. I don't know. She always annoyed me and never seemed... She seemed like all bluster and no flavor.
You know what I think gives it, like, one of the reasons I like her, I think she said at one point, like, that she was, like, cooking for a kid, and just, I think that's now a soft spot for me. Like, I like anyone who cooks for their kid and, like, talks about it.
So you mean, like, all parents?
Well, I mean, but
chefs.
Yeah,
she cooked for their kid.
She cared, though. She was like, my kid really likes this, and she wanted to make the kid like
that.
Maybe all parents, yeah. Maybe it's just all parents now.
Back when Richard Blaze was a good guy instead of a bad guy, before he became kind of a good guy again, but not as good, when he got eliminated off his season, he had written like a blog post that was like, you feel like it was the worst thing that's ever happened, and this is the most important meal of your life. And then, you know, 6 weeks later, you cook your first meal for your newborn son, and that's way more important. So that was pretty cute. That was back when he was a good guy.
Yeah, newborns aren't eating solids, so it's kind of
super crazy.
Like microwaving a bottle.
Wife, yeah.
stuffing carpaccio into an infant's mouth seems like a really weird choice.
It was the most important thing I've ever done.
Was I used jicama instead of a tortilla?
You don't seem to
be appreciating
this. Baby,
you're going to eat some goddamn banana scallops and stop crying. Yeah.
Are you asleep during service?
Did you just mess yourself?
He has become harsh, you're right. she's not my
any
favorite.
Other thoughts on the quickfire before we move into the big
elimination? What is the one ingredient you guys would have grabbed?
Ooh.
Jalapeno was a great... I loved the pull of jalapeno. I thought that was like really going to add some interest to this meal. Versatile.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe this is boring, but I would have been an olive oil or a salt. I would have been like, let's just take care of the basics. You guys do the crazy things.
You just serve them a cup of olive oil.
I didn't say I was going to plate that. That was what I would grab. I would definitely make an olive oil carpaccio.
I like the idea of just looking at whoever grabbed the thing right before me, just try to get a slightly better version of that, right? So if like, you get olive oil, I'll just get extra virgin olive oil.
Ingredient awful. Yeah.
Better salt.
Just pick worthless.
I would have liked to see something a little bit lighter and fresher, I guess. Although there was no citrus, so it would have been harder to do something with more like a play with like tomatoes and celery, like something just like really bright and fun.
I think
lemon would have been good.
I was just going to go there. Is like lemons.
It's a good ingredient.
A really good ingredient.
I've been all about that ingredient lately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Lemon's the best.
Has life given you them, or have you bought them?
You go to a grocery store and you exchange cash for them. And then you make lemonade, but then you're like, you paid for it.
Oh, you still make lemonade then? Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the great, it's so versatile. It's like, I could use this for all these things, or I could just make lemonade and have a great day. I've done that.
So wait, are you just using lemons and lemonade, or are you adding them to other things?
I'm adding it to everything now. It's the best. It's so good.
Everything's lemonade now.
I made Megan lemonade just one day. We like had too many lemons, and I was like, this dinner is going to come with lemonade. And it was great.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, lemons brighten up. A little citrus can really brighten up a lot.
It's so amazing, yeah, it's great.
Brought to you by the Lemon Advisory Board of California.
Yeah, well, they pay for the podcast, so we have to talk about lemons favorably at least
at some point. Well, this was our lemon epiphany episode that we charged extra for. You know, you get a few episodes in, you've got a faithful listening base, and then you have to start talking about lemons in a really like rapturous way. Yeah.
They Which is great. Easy, because lemons are great, guys, right?
Great.
Lemons are so great.
Also, incidentally, we got paid extra to say, we hate limes. Get out of here, limes.
F limes, am I right?
Screw you, limes.
And Lemon's new tagline, when life gives you lemons, celebrate, because that's great news.
When life gives you limes, kill yourself. It's really a bad situation. Yeah. You don't need those limes. If you're not making a margarita, get out of here.
I totally missed that whole page in the contract where we were taking a hard stance against limes.
As part of the Lemon Advisory Board.
I don't think I would have signed on.
They're also
I would have accepted that very competitive counterbid from Hidden Valley Ranch.
Or sorbet. Love sorbet.
Very, very teriyaki.
I've always been a sorbet fan. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't cooked with it in probably 10 years.
Oh, man. I'm a Kiko man.
Is that your
man.
Food memory?
I remember sorbet.
Oh, yeah. Good reminiscing, Tanya.
Yeah, I did a great job. And so did the chefs, sort of. So the elimination challenge, each chef had to do a dish that reflected where they were 10 years ago. And we had a very exciting spread. They cooked in the Top Chef kitchen and were watched by their guest diners and the judges
Yeah.
throughout their whole process, which... seemed pretty stressful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least
it was a chef's table thing where they got to watch them cook the whole time. And
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But and you had some, you know, 10th anniversary Top Chef. You had some LA Top Chef alums like Lil Volt and Mae Lynn.
Why was Lil? So Lil Volt was great. He talked a lot. But Mae Lynn, did she just not sign a release? She was never on the show.
She said one word. I forget what it was now, but I was like, really? That's all?
It was probably like lemons, and then she disappeared. Lemons.
Yeah. She said the best word.
Too something or not enough something. And she looked very sour about it, and that was it.
Yeah. Most of the shots of her were like her sort of like smiling while drinking wine or just looking very skeptical. Yeah. And I wasn't sure.
But you remember Mae as like big personality chef? Because I remember her as consistently excellent technique under pressure.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
She also wasn't wearing her headband, so I'm sure her mojo was a little bit different.
True. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's fun about this is that this is a Take It Back 10 Years challenge where you're basically, everybody's reminiscing. The whole point of the show is 10 year anniversary. And they basically never talked about 10 years ago Top Chef. Partially because season one of Top Chef was not great.
Wasn't great. Caliber chef's not great. No Padma.
When we used to have a home cook on every season of Top Chef.
Yeah.
Back when one of the challenges was cut up this fruit plate.
And then one person just displayed it as it without cutting it.
Just
as, like, I love
the whole fruit is
whole.
Beautiful.
I don't even think that was the home cook of the season. She was
no, it wasn't. That was the yoga studio lady. And then also, fun thing about season one, no Padma. So she couldn't reminisce. She just hadn't gotten here yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't invited to that party. So I'm sure it was great, but I don't know.
So Billy Joel's wife was too busy trying to mess that season up.
Yeah. My favorite was Gail being like, and back then you only had $20.
The entire show.
Yeah.
Well, but with inflation, it's like $29.
Can we all agree that Gail should talk about cornbread more? I feel like that's the right like reminiscing voice.
Yeah.
You know, in the olden days, corn
olden
things.
Days.
Yeah.
Everything's made
out of
corn.
She doesn't have like
days.
A down home accent. She's from Canada. So
Yeah. But
everything was 20 to 50% more difficult than it is today.
Yeah.
And also reminiscing 10 years ago, back before Gail was fun.
Oh, yeah, when she was serious Gail.
Gail was tough
back then. I
think
everybody was a more serious version of themselves.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Although, did anyone else feel like there was a serious vibe this episode? Everybody just seemed a little bit more... like, and I'm talking more specifically about the judges. Like, it just felt
a
little
more...
Yeah,
we got a lot of eyebrows from Tom, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom was disappointed. He had a lot of disappointment.
Yeah. Really?
I'm not angry.
Bumming Tom out today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a theory about that, though. I think that the food like has been consistently pretty great. We've had a lot of elimination challenges where chefs went home for relatively minor mistakes, a lot of great food. And I think this is the point in the show where kind of the wheat separates from the chaff or the cream rises, whatever food metaphor you want to use. But it's hard.
We haven't got enough. You give me two more options, Chris.
No, I can't.
The ice cubes from the water.
The ice cubes float up in the water.
The ice cubes split up in the dashi, and it's a disaster.
Wet dashi.
Yeah,
I remember
the scallops saute around
the pickles
bacon.
From the bun.
Yeah, I don't
know. The lemon shows itself to be superior from the lime.
You know, classic.
So anyway,
the limes get what they deserve.
Yeah. And we are fully funded. We'll see you for another season.
Yeah.
And we can afford a babysitter now.
Yay. Thanks, Reddit.
I'm so happy.
Now, what I'm trying to say is there are 10 chefs left. We're 7 episodes in. You know, it is hard. These chefs have not been sleeping much, you know, and I think that the food quality overall has taken a dip. You have people who normally don't make mistakes, making some mistakes. The overall quality isn't as good. I think when the quality is great, everybody's happy, and the chefs and the judges are in a good mood. Chefs are in a good mood, but things were not very quality.
You can also understand his disappointment that they gave the most open-ended challenge of the season. You have plenty of time by yourself to cook anything you want, and many people didn't do well.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on a second, Alex. It could have been any number of years in the past. It had to be 10 specifically, so that's kind of limiting.
But they
seem to affect the chefs, at least mentally, because they really were thinking about exactly where they were 10 years ago.
Agreed, Sarah. Agreed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Philip, I guess 10 years ago was, you know, making weird ceviches, and Jason 10 years ago was yelling about people under-seasoning an under-seasoned dish.
I think actually this might be one of those cases of people taking challenges too literally.
Right.
Because, like, if you did something from 8 years ago, they're not going to hire an investigator and check.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Seems like we were working at a restaurant that served this dish 10 years ago. Yeah, yeah. I agree, Alex, that would not necessarily have been a and big could, discrepancy.
Yeah, there's so many things you could do that were just like, you know, 10 years ago, I did went on this trip to Thailand, and so here is my new thing that I came up with this year that has to do with Thai food. Like, we've talked about this
or
before
Marjorie
on the show, is that when you get a challenge, your goal is a
color.
Good story and a good dish, and not to perfectly embody this challenge.
And really
about
oh go ahead Sarah.
I was thinking about Kwame a little bit and what might have happened there. So basically he thought about the relationship he had with his dad, which was not good and is still not good. And I think the second he realized that that was about 10 years ago, he kind of went on this mission to maybe make himself feel better about it.
Yeah.
And that took over. And so he made this kind of weird jerk broccoli, which sounded terrible, looked terrible, and was terrible.
I thought that idea sounded great because as a vegetarian, I love the idea of a jerk broccoli on corn pudding. That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we were into the idea, but yeah.
It didn't look appetizing.
Didn't look good.
But look, I know, your relationship with your father fell apart 10 years ago, but that was a long year. Something else happened.
Yeah, he got stuck in it. Like I said, I think he was trying to make something out of this, like, and it just took over everything, which was sad because I was really nervous at the end. Oh my god, I did not want him to go.
Yeah, I think we all are. I unless I'm wrong, I think we're all very much Team Kwame.
Oh, for sure.
It was really,
definitely.
It was, I mean, and it's hard seeing people like. I think it just reminded me of how. You know, they've been on camera for seven episodes-ish now. And it's still really intense to suddenly just be asked to, like, dig up your past and then be like, well, this is what was going on with me. Like, it's just I don't know. I can understand how he got stuck in that loop because you just have so little time to think. And then once you've kind of committed to whatever your choice was, like, you're stuck.
Yeah.
And you're already, like, you're tired and you're stressed out and then you're thinking about this relationship that's, you know, one of the more central ones.
And then you're...
You just should have done something about Johnny Cash because Walk the Line did come out 10 years ago.
You're right. I'm glad that we 10 years ago. I went for film class.
Good reference, you guys.
I think we really made a mistake by not incorporating more Walk the Line references into this episode. Yeah.
Also being funded by the creators of Walk the Line for some reason.
And Lemons.
Yeah.
They have this really long budgeting process of advertising Walk the Line.
Yeah.
It's really, it's very free form. They're just...
Joaquin Phoenix really pitched it as kind of a long con in marketing, and they bought it.
I mean, I think Joaquin Phoenix is a long con. I think everything about him screams long con.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think happens is you do all that time, you get all messed up, and then you end up staring down the barrel of Tom saying, I don't get it. Just confused, angry Tom.
Yeah. Do we think that this would have been his reaction if anyone else had given such a disjointed dish? Because I think part of it is wrapped up in the fact that these are some of his favorite folks so far. Mm-hmm. Not that they're allowed to really have true favorites, but like people that have been consistently putting up really exciting
Jeremy
food.
And Kwame. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they both stumble so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt like some of Tom's eyebrow furrow was about that.
Yeah.
There's no way they don't have some favorites. It's like I get you're not supposed to, and legally they would never say that they had favorites, but when if Kwame had to go home, Tom would have been like, you killed the wrong child.
I don't think anybody's going to show their hand that hard, which actually brings me to the much needed discussion of Philip. I think his gamesmanship continues to be an issue.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's making it an issue, right?
Philip is such a ridiculous human being.
Well, he's taken on this victimization thing now, which just adds another layer of irritation.
Yeah.
Why me?
Yeah.
Upside, he did not use the word yummy today in this episode.
Well, he couldn't.
Well, because they didn't like the yummy food, so now he's trying to cook to the chef's taste of unyummy. Yeah.
of spicier, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of, like, real plates?
Yeah. Seems like you guys prefer when I don't use rocks.
Yeah.
The thing about Philip is that he doesn't have the slightest bit of self-awareness. Not even a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, everything he does just comes off weird. Like the plate under a blanket. Like, how do you not see, like, even if it's the right idea?
Okay, I kind of loved that, though. Yeah, that was so funny.
Alex, actually, I would argue that when you're talking about self-awareness, you either want all or nothing. I don't think you want a little bit, right? You either have enough to get by or not at all.
If Philip had popped his head out from under the blanket and been like, I know this is weird, but I think it's working, and then went back to plating under a blanket, I would have loved him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that he kept talking about the dish and like trying to explain it from under the blanket.
No idea what a weirdo he is.
That's weird.
And then bringing that to the present day, it's fascinating to me that while he understands that everyone has things that they like, his like take on what the judges like and his idea about cooking to that is completely without nuance.
There's just nothing ridiculous.
There's nothing detailed about it. It's like, I think you might like spicy food.
Yeah.
How is that a helpful hint?
Yeah. And Tom and Mike Volt were just like, no, just make it good, man. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. When saying to the judges, I'm now cooking to your taste, is just so crazy balls. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's not going to win Tom over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's not really what Tom wants to be told.
We've heard over the years from lots of chefs on the show that the judges have a particularly spicy or salty palate, that these mm-hmm. judges tend to like food aggressively seasoned. And I believe that, and that could be a thing like, oh, I'm going to put a tiny pinch of extra salt for the judges. But his idea that's like, oh, the judges want me to do totally not like me at all dishes is just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's I mean, a little bit of salt, a little bit more spice can differentiate it when you're in a field of 10 dishes. I mean,
sure. I think it has less. And we know that Padma likes spicy food, but not everybody is crazy about spicy food.
Well, yeah,
and
Padma likes spicy booze.
Instead, Padma likes booze. Like that's but if you were like, look, I've realized all the chefs want booze, and so I'm giving them a bottle of whiskey under every plate. Like, that's not going to help you. You got to make good food.
What were you going to say, Ez?
Well, maybe everyone here, you know, you guys are all the Carls and the Cajun Man 5000s of the group, but I'm pretty sure I'm a Phillips. I'm pretty sure this is going to be my approach to like to try to make it work. I don't think I'll do well.
Yeah, underneath his blanket of sunny side up fried eggs is, it's a bottle of whiskey.
I think at a certain point you're just chasing down judges, trying to force them to take a shot. Like, I'm pretty sure that's how that ends.
What did Date Shake do this time? Because I remember he did pretty well.
Yeah, he did his a lot.
He did the snails.
He did the snails. Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
10 years ago,
Gail couldn't stop smiling.
Gail could not stop smiling. I love that. And I think every season we have one of those dishes that really delights a judge. I forget which one, who made it last year, but it was the carrots that captured sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
That was
Emily Dickinson.
Yeah. And also, you know, so, I mean, that was something that the chefs, they know that the judges like when you capture sunshine. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. So why not
solar
just do
panels?
That? Yeah. But, yeah, this one, these snails were seemingly just absolutely.
Oh,
funny.
Wait, guys, who won? Marjorie won. Why did
Marjorie
win?
Not Carl.
Yeah. Marjorie won because of lemons.
Yeah.
Oh,
lemons is the best ingredient.
Let's act a little bit more like we planned this out, guys.
Act like you've been there.
Good work, Tanya. Sorry, I'm all on board now.
I was so charmed by Marjorie's ingenuity, and mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the Magical Elves edit that kept you kind of on tenterhooks about whether or not this substitution was going to work out.
Can you roast a lemon or not?
Mm-hmm. Well, she started by saying that, so they had no lemongrass. She's making green curry. There's no lemongrass at Whole Foods, and so she's going to buy a curry paste, and that seems like, from the Magical Elves, that seems like you're going home.
I bought some tortillas.
Yeah, or mm-hmm. I bought smoked oysters. Like, it just feels
canned
like, oh, bad times.
I canned bought garbanzo beans, yes.
I
absolutely.
Bought yellow cake mix.
One of these times, I want them to like just like buy everything they need, but then see they're like $5 under, and it's like, okay, I bought a bag of Skittles also, because I want Skittles.
Yeah, I mean, free money. You get your money's worth.
I got some Glee gum, and this chicle is falling apart in my mouth. It's terrible.
So
it's just my quick review of Glee gum.
Yeah.
It's not sorry if you're a big fan.
Brought to you by Not a Lemon magazine.
So Marjorie makes up for lemongrass by taking the curry paste and then grilling a lemon, and people lost their goddamn minds. Apparently it was amazing.
It really worked out.
because that grilled lemon has, you know, kind of a different flavor. It's a little bit more earthy, you know.
And it works. It works as a substitute.
Yeah, and Marjorie was the one person who, of the chef testants, did not go, 10 years ago, exactly what was I cooking? She said, oh, 10 years ago, I guess it was a little green. I could play on that.
Mm-hmm. And then that was such a perfect story.
Her present day mm-hmm. skills
yeah.
to make something great. And that's why she won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Amar got the nod because, God, that sentiment was... I mean, Tom, you know, was basically crying in the kitchen.
Yeah. He was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, you know, they dedicated the episode to that poor chef who died with ALS.
ALS,
You know, and Amar did a great tribute, and that's great. But everybody besides Marjorie cooked literal. Well, maybe mm-hmm. Kwame cooked confusing, but everybody else cooked literal.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think, or trying to... I mean, and this, we know, has... consistently limited success. Something that you cook in your restaurant all the time that's amazing, that quote unquote everyone loves, sometimes good, sometimes not so much, mm-hmm. and that, or that thing your grandma always makes that you love, again, some good, some not so
good
much
work.
And I think, you know, conjuring up a vision of a dish that previously existed and trying to make it great that day
mm-hmm.
doesn't always have the same success as really like focusing in and doing something great that feels right in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was, you know, a day when that went out.
And she did still have a really good story with it. Like, and I really liked what she said when Tom asked her if she was still green, when she said, well, I think 10 years ago I was green as a cook, and now I'm green as a chef. I just thought that was a really,
It was such a great, humble answer while explaining that she's come a long way. I thought that
was... Marjorie's so winning.
Just a great way with words. And then Tom was like, no, you're not green. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a bad time to season your food with humility, everyone.
And lemons.
Tastiest dish of all.
Good addition, Ez.
Lemons are humility made fruit. I couldn't agree more.
Awesome.
Yeah. So. Also, Amar is just out there and talking, doing all kinds of stuff.
He's just on the show.
Here I am, you guys.
He's staying on, you guys.
Came out of nowhere. Special had a bye for five episodes, but now he's here.
Yeah.
Indeed. It feels worth mentioning that after a pretty good showing earlier, Jeremy has a pretty significant stumble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he cooked his food for the first time. Apparently, that doesn't work out so well for him.
Yeah, Amar kind of gave him some guff in the quick fire by, you know, saying that he's always cooking raw dishes, mm-hmm. and then he tries cooking lobster with salmon on the side, and nobody realized or nobody thought those had anything to do with one another.
Well, although when Tom was like, "What does lobster have to do with salmon?" I would have said the sea, but he never thought of that answer.
They're pretty different in terms of flavor and texture and, you know, how they behave as food.
Sure, but we could probably come up with 25 things they have in common, and one of them mm-hmm. is living in the ocean.
Yeah, sure. From Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Something tells me that Tom, Edible. Being deeply familiar with the sea, would not find that funny.
No, that might just make him much angrier.
I think, but so the other thing that we have to talk about is that finally we are with Jason.
Yeah.
He fell out of my delightful list pretty hard, and so I was glad that he did not have to keep being on the show.
A farewell to Squidballs.
We hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
Yes.
We knew you and your colorful socks a little too well.
I like those pants, though. I don't know. I'm okay with the guy who wears colorful pants.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
not
the
a...
yellow pants weren't terrible.
No, no. And I would say that I think Jason had a similar edit to, was it Giselle at a certain point mm-hmm. when she was talking about not making friends on the show? And there was a lot of Jason also kind of being like, these are not necessarily my people. And mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of big personalities and I don't feel like I can have my voice. And I'm not acting the way that people who know me think I would act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah. You're also drunk and you haven't slept in 2 weeks. I get that. But you're still like, you don't have like... I don't know. Maybe someone should have told him that he wasn't supposed to be there to make friends and, like, just cook well and don't be obnoxious. Those are still options. Yeah.
Well, here's something I wonder about with Top Chef in particular. For a lot of the time, yes, you're there to cook amazing food, but the moral support of the people around you and, like, good energy in the kitchen does help.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, having people that are there to have your back, that will listen to you when you're struggling with something, that will basically, like, kind of keep you going when you're exhausted all the time, does make a difference. And it's not that, you know, you should go in with like friendship as your A number one goal. Of course not. But friendship has a bigger role on this show, I think.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to argue, like, maybe it should be an A number one goal, because, like, most people are not going to win, but, like, you probably could make a pretty strong professional connection with someone that would probably be much more helpful than, like...
a networking event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a networking event. You should have gone there to make friends.
Although you have to stay around long enough to make friends.
Yeah,
you have to. If you get eliminated in the first five...
And if you make terrible food, it's hard to network with great chefs.
Okay, but so you want to make sure that you cook well enough in order to make friends.
So what you do is every time you cook something for the judges, you also slip a bottle of whiskey to the other contestants.
They
love and that. A lemon.
Man, Alex just rolls in with a suitcase full of whiskey.
I am. Yeah. Gotta check this bag.
Tom made a really good point. I thought that his little soliloquy at the end that was related to that was kind of good about how, you know, cooking has knives and fire and is kind of macho. But, you know, we're all human. And Tom actually said, deep down inside, we are all fragile.
That's true.
He's not kidding. Deep down inside, you are super fragile.
don't mess around with anything there.
You brought knives and fire into yourself? Ugh.
Oh, bad idea.
Yeah. Or just one little grain of ricin. Or, you know, some cola could really...
just really mess up your afternoon.
Yeah. I thought that was a good speech, and it's weird because Tom seems like he might be kind of bro-y too, some in the right situation.
Yeah,
because he made his own beer.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Yeah,
I think he's got a strong kicking back and having fun streak.
Yeah, he does have that too. It's hard for me to watch somebody come on the show and not make friends because I just know that if I was on this show, I would not get along with people. I don't make friends.
What
well.
In particular makes you think that?
I think you're nicer than you give yourself credit for, my friend.
I think that anytime I'm thrust into a group of new people, it takes a while for them to like me.
I can see it.
I appreciate that, Ezra.
Here's the thing: it's their loss, but I can see it.
That is sweet and also mostly true.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. This is just hard, especially the not sleeping. Like, I would just be such a butthead by this week.
Oh, that's fair true. Enough. You do hate not sleeping more than anybody else I know.
So much.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of groups of new people, I think it's time to get in with some new and familiar faces in our...
Mailbag.
That was tight and right. Fresh as a lemon, guys.
Can I...
Let's start our mailbag off on Facebook, and I'm going to have Chris moderate this.
Oh, yeah. Joan wrote us and had some thoughts. He agreed with me that Isaac, Cageman 5000, is a monster or master troll, choosing chicken and then totally not using it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so
how trolly did we think that move was, guys?
I don't think he was trolly at all. I think what his answer that he said, like, the third time someone questioned him on it was, like, he was early in the choosing. He didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And then based on the other ingredients that came out, he changed his plan. And I think that's not... Like, I think he was pretending that he was being trolly, but like a fox. He was secretly just, he knew exactly.
Foxes do love chicken.
Yeah.
They do. That's why they like to hang out in the hen house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
That's why you can't transport them all together, right? You go, like, the fox
that's with
the grain,
you have to drop
and then
him off and
back.
Then go back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You just keep the chicken with you at all times, right? That's the answer to that?
So the fox and the grain go over. And then you leave the fox there. You have to take one of them back. That's the thing I don't remember.
Yeah, you take one back, and because of that, basically it's like you just like keep the fox in the boat the whole time, or you keep the chicken in the boat the whole time. I don't remember.
Foxes love boats.
Joan also wanted to call out that Carl's Tom Colicchio impression is pretty good. We saw
that shot. Oh, that was great.
The chef's kicking back. Kwame made the burgers on the grill. I love that they actually have a little bit of a recharge moment, and Carl did a nice Tom judging the burger, which was great.
For your first time on the roof, pretty good job.
The faces, too.
Yeah, pretty good.
That was so fun, and I think this is sort of a classic Project Runway moment, but like every show should have a moment where all the contestants do an impression of the judges.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Andre. Yeah. This is so fun.
So, and if you're a Facebook person, feel free to visit our page for Pack Your Mics, give it a like, and submit your thoughts for the mailbag.
Facebook.com/packyourmics. Grab a lemon.
Can I read a mailbag for you guys?
Yeah, sure.
So this was sent to me because this is my buddy Jay, who contributed a lot last season, and so he just emailed me directly. He is the one who brought us Chef Kwame on Twitter, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So
good job.
if
at the, Towels.
Yeah, at Towels. So he tweeted at us that he thought perhaps Kwame was not trying to win Top Chef, but just trying to win Padma's heart. And Kwame tweeted back, like, what else did you think I'm doing? which was so charming and awesome.
That
and also,
was...
also, I don't think he was at included, so I think that means he must be searching for his name. But
yeah. Or have some sort of alert.
An alert, yeah, which is kind of neat. But anyway, so Jay also said... old mailbag jingle, fun and unifying. New mailbag jingle, rushed and disjointed. I would rather listen to 4 seconds longer of podcast.
Point
to bring
for old
back
mailbag.
That original mailbag.
You
jingle.
Guys, you know what? You know what? Because we're reminiscing, let's do an old mailbag.
Okay, yes! Are we ready for this next one?
Yeah. All right. So,
mailbag.
I don't feel like it has the same mojo it used to, but.
Oh, we have to have like a new remix version where it's like mailbag, 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 and then you guys come out on the top of it with like mailbag,
and then the bass drops.
Mailbag.
It's weird that we did like 35 minutes of noodling after that.
Yeah,
a real like Wilco Kid Smoke situation.
It's also it would be unfortunate if we switched back because Jay's liked the old one better. When the reason we switched was because like 30 people were like, God, that mailbag jingle's so long.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's the absolute worst. Yeah, I guess we should have put some sort of warning on this one.
Yeah.
Can we just do a new mailbag every single episode?
Yes.
Oh. Wow, like I feel like they
yeah. Yeah, you know, like the every
could,
season of The
I
Wire.
I teach Caleb to say mailbag.
Yeah, like every season.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry, my heart just did like a whole thing.
Yeah. which
try.
I hope
I
didn't do too much of a thing because you're very fragile in there.
Yeah, I have to stop introducing knives and grains of rice.
Yeah,
rice and fire. It's a poison.
Yeah. Anyway.
So let's do a quick Top Chef question from Jenna. And she actually wrote to us through our site. So packyourmics.com, there's a link to email us. And you can get in touch that way if you care to. Yeah.
Who so knows? Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All exactly. Right, you, Tanya.
So what she wants to know is, when they do challenges like this, how do they decide who gets more time to cook? Do they know beforehand? Is it based on their own estimations? It never, ever comes up.
Yeah, so this was something where I think this was brought up either in our interview with the producers last year or something like that, where I don't know if they said exactly how they decide, but however they pair off, they're just like, okay, you know, they establish some sort of order. But if you have 2 hours to cook, you know, the last group doesn't have 2 hours and 40 minutes because they're going last. Their two hours starts a little later.
They're staggered. Yeah, the starts are staggered. They don't show that. Which is weird. There's most challenges. You just see them all cooking. You don't show the staggered starts, but they do the staggered starts. We established that somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I
no
think
chef
in early
has been.
Seasons that was more obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. The rollout seemed clearer as to like, oh, these people are now up to finish their stuff and get it out.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a better waterfall, guys.
You know where we see that a lot actually is the finals, because they're usually cooking somewhere weird, like somewhere exotic, and it's a small kitchen. And so they have to show the staggering because, you know, it's all going on. It's actually worth watching how they manage it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is. I agree that it's confusing looking, but in reality, nobody's being given extra advantage.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jenna, thanks for writing us and thanks for the kind words.
Yeah. Indeed. I took the compliments out because it seemed a little
but they were good. They're in there.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said nice things.
She said nice
things. All right.
Nice.
Indeed.
I'll feel better about myself now.
Yeah.
Thanks, friend.
Thanks, Jenna.
Yeah. You're all a true lemon.
We've got a few more mailbag items.
Okay.
I feel like we've been giving people a lot of songs, so I just skipped over at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool.
The mailbag.
So,
diggity, mailbag.
I do appreciate that Chris Tokohama at Trojan Topher gives us like a blow-by-blow commentary. Sometimes it comes in before I've had a chance to see the episode, and so I have to like avert my eyes for
I've had to change the way I look at Twitter because I don't usually watch it until 2 days later, and there's just a million spoilers in our feed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which keeps sending it to us. That's on me to not look until I know the answer.
Yep.
True. I would like to pose his sassiest question to the group, which is it wrong that I kind of want May and Michael to have a super hot mixed race chef baby?
Ooh.
I think it would depend why you want it.
Yeah, if you're planning on stealing that baby, then that'd be way wrong.
That's not great.
25 years from now, you want a super hot chef? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It does feel a little wrong to want people to have that much responsibility and it doesn't cost you anything, you know? Like, wanting someone to have a kid is a pretty gnarly thing to put on somebody.
You know what? I'm going to say the wanting isn't wrong. It's really what you do next.
Totally. I agree with that. Yeah. Which is basically
it's
how we
like
are with
taking
pandas.
Dolls of them and just slamming them together, hoping something sticks.
Because that doesn't work. Because we've all tried it. Because it doesn't work.
Yeah. If Chris was actively trying to parent trap them together,
that would be great.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this is sort of the most extreme version of Kwame wanting to give Padma a puppy that she didn't know she wanted.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Right?
That was pretty sweet.
That was really, I mean, I love, because I have a lot of like radically specific friendship scenarios with famous people that I sometimes talk about. And I really appreciate that other people do that too. Where it's not just, oh, I'd love it if we were friends. It's like, no. Wine and cheese in the park. And then, oh, what's this? A Yorkie? Yeah, that's for you. Boom. Did it. Like, that's just fantastic.
It was so good. And
I
think he deserves a Padma. I think he's won. or at least her pervy friend. Like, he can have her, too.
You're referring to Chrissy Teigen?
As Padma's pervy friend?
Yeah, the one who was like, have you guys been boning?
I actually think that's a step up from John Legend's wife.
John Legend's pervy wife.
The supermodel Padma's friend who asked people if they'd been fucking.
Yeah, that's Chrissy Teigen.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's what I meant.
Sure.
Cage Man 5000. You know we did.
Yeah. I want Kwame to end up with one of them.
You just really need Kwame to end up with a lady. That's more important than winning at this point.
Well, no, specifically Padma or John.
We'll give
Legend's
it to
wife.
Karen or Marjorie. Kwame, let's get you a love interest.
This season is lacking romance.
Oh, that's like the Rocky One finish, I think, right?
Oh yeah, like, he lost, but he got Adrian. Yeah.
Oh sure. Spoiler alert.
Well, I'm not ready to Rocky One.
It's like
Kwame.
35 years old, Alex.
And I think.
Well,
but
it's the same as Creed. Sorry, spoiler alert.
We heard again from Maren this week, and I like her commentary a lot. And she had a really good point, which is that Kwame had it tougher because he's so young. He ended up having to remember back to being a teen, and that's a terrible time. As she says, it's the very worst. So, she really felt for him. And the others got to remember back to the beginning of their careers, which seemed more nostalgic and happy and resulted in better dishes. Mm-hmm. And he is a fave of Marin's this season. I think we can all agree.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
And now our Twitter companion.
Yes. And by the way, Maren, if your name is pronounced differently, please just let me know.
We're just assuming it's like Karen with an M.
Yeah, indeed. But if it's Maren.
Or Mark Maren without a mark.
Yes.
Indeed.
More mailbag?
Final mailbag. And also, we were very charmed by Kwame chiming in.
Yes. Yeah, we got Twitter shout out from Kwame.
Who's not charmed by that?
Yeah.
Last question. Lauren wants to know, what did you think of the chefs brought back for the special anniversary episode? What other chefs should they have brought back?
I was super confused, Lauren. But thank you for the question, and thanks for everybody writing in. I was super confused because it's a 10-year anniversary, and they had nobody from season one.
That's true.
Yeah.
They had people from season 7 and season 4.
They
couldn't
get Harold
like
back?
Yeah,
Harold.
Tells you how bad season 1 was that we've never heard from Harold ever again.
I can't really remember a lot of people from season 1 though.
Actually, Tiffany can we do on. This for a second? Because I wanted to do a little season 1 reminiscing. I was just had pulled up the Wikipedia page. So the opening challenge of season 1 episode 1 was when they had to work Hubert Keller's line at his restaurant for 30 minutes for the quick fire. And they haven't done a lot of that because they're chefs, not cooks. But I loved watching them work the line. That was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
Hubert got really mad at one of the people for tasting with a tasting spoon and then putting it back in.
Yeah, which still happens.
Still happens, yeah.
Season 2, the elimination challenge was for an S&M party in San Francisco at a sex boutique. And the winner was Miguel for the total orgasm pastry puffs. That was fun. And then also the other one I looked at that I remember loving was the quickfire where you got $20 at a gas station. And the winner was Leanne, who made a Funyun battered spadini. And also, not many of the chefs from season 1 went on to great illustrious careers, but Leanne from season 1 was the food creative director or the director of food or whatever for several seasons on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's who I don't remember who's the chef who's doing it now.
Sandy is now.
Yeah, Sandy. Oh, that's right, because she got married on the Big Gay Wedding episode.
Yeah, but Sandy was a contestant on one of the other earlier seasons.
Early-ish. Yeah. But yeah, and so I like that chefs go on to have careers on Top Chef. I think that's kind of neat behind the camera. But yeah, Leanne did awesome work in the challenge creation.
Yes. Yeah, and to be fair to Harold, I ate at his restaurant in New York. It was a delight.
Yeah, his really restaurants delicious. Are really good.
And he's put out a lot of cookbooks, and I have friends who cook from them and really enjoy them. Yeah. So I don't know that I would say that he's, you know, completely fallen off the face of the earth.
He's never... Have we ever seen him on Top Chef ever again, though? I wonder if he just is done with the show.
I thought we had. I think it's been...
It was a while back, but I do believe he came back.
I think he has very little interest in returning to food TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's... I respect that, to be completely honest.
Sure. Totally.
Yeah. Anybody else we wish we had gotten to catch up with?
Billy Joel's wife. No.
Just never.
Yeah. I mean, it would have made it on the Food Network.
I would have loved to have seen Billy Joel's wife, Katie Lee Joel. Let's see.
I would have loved to have more time with Gail and Tom talking about season one and kind of reminiscing from them.
I would have totally enjoyed more season one. Well, I mean, the fact that she said, like, when they had $20 was really a funny thing. Because I'm sure the show was much smaller budget back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was interested. I'd hear more about it. Let's see. Is there anything else from season one that I miss? Yeah, I don't know. With the exception of having Antonia on for the quickfire, I thought everybody else was pretty good chefs to have on. I love Little Volt, and I love Blaze still.
Yeah.
I mean, they must all be just like in LA, right? Like,
yeah, they were just LA Top Chefy people who were around, you know.
I think this was kind of a mellow reunion,
right?
Yeah,
it was like, you don't want to bother a lot of people. We're just going to like get together some people that we're already texting with.
I mean, that did seem like in keeping with this challenge where they're like, let's just stay in the Top Chef kitchen the whole time.
Right.
It's kind of like one of those days when you're like, you leave to go to the grocery store and that's about it.
Yeah. And frankly, like this has been our whole weekend of like, we'll go outside for like, we went outside in the blizzard for what, an hour?
Yeah, it snowed 2 feet in New York yesterday.
Yeah, so we went outside in the blizzard for an hour, came home and napped real hard.
Yeah. And like, what did that you was do in the day. Blizzard? What do you do in a blizzard?
We just walked around because they
funny turned... California question to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, around 2:30, the transport that wasn't emergency vehicles was banned. So, all the cars were gone, so we all just like went out in the street and walked around.
Had fun walking around. Yeah.
Stepped Sounds in some drifts. It was pretty cool. It was pretty chill.
Yeah.
But I liked this cozy episode.
A couple years ago, Megan and I went on a donut hunt. We tried to find a place that sold donuts that was open. That was fun.
Except we didn't find a good donut.
No, we totally did not. Yeah. It was a failed experiment, but it was still interesting.
Nothing but holes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Starbucks donuts.
Yeah, we ate a Starbucks donut, and that was after they got rid of Top Pot, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, mistakes.
Anyway. Sometimes reminiscing is not productive.
Sometimes it's not. I guess that concludes our
mailbag
segment today. You can get in touch with us on Facebook at facebook.com/packyourmics, on Twitter at packyourmics, or you can reach us by visiting our website, packyourmics.com. Let's get into Last Chance Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Tom, let your hair down.
Jason versus Angelina.
So Jason takes his yellow pants and marches his way into Last Chance Kitchen, where he magically grows some new and somehow skeevier facial hair.
Soy vey.
And soy vey is on the case to give him the flavor he failed to use before. So he and Angelina go head-to-head trying to... take some ordinary ingredients and pep them up.
The challenge was, these are fridges like anyone might have at home. You know fridges. Yeah, like, I get it. You're not using an industrial refrigerator, but, like, it didn't seem like necessarily, like, all of us had a fine beef cut wrapped in brown paper in our fridge. Like, it didn't seem like an ordinary fridge interior, just... They just got a cheap fridge on Craigslist to put the crappy ingredients in.
Yeah, they wrapped it so it looked crappy.
I mean, you had like a nice-ish protein, but nobody had gourmet ingredients, certainly. Mm-hmm. You know, like Angelina's dish, besides there was shrimp, which you can buy at any supermarket, and then potato and onion and celery and
I'm not
orange.
Saying you can't buy shrimp, but not everybody has shrimp in their fridge. That's pretty rare.
I thought it was,
yeah, yeah.
It made me feel a little bad, so it's like, what? You know, I have that kind of stuff in my fridge. What's so wrong with that?
If the ingredients list for them had been like, you have mustard, you have half a can of chili, you know, like, I wanted it to be more basic.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more dorm room challenging. Mm-hmm. Would have been interesting.
I can't remember what season there was, but there was one where they had to go, like, what was actually in people's fridges.
Yeah, that was
was dorms.
Yeah, that was dorms when all these college students who were like food inclined brought in whatever they had in their fridges.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that was cool. That wasn't the dorm from Masters where they had to cook in the shower.
No.
Nobody's doing that ever again.
I always want to reminisce about that. I loved that.
So we had some teriyaki shrimp from Angelina. We had teriyaki salmon from Jason. And before we get into who won, who did people want to win?
Teriyaki salmon. I love salmon.
Okay, the salmon didn't win, Chris. The person.
It's a win for salmon and a win for my hometown, Seattle. I'm good.
Yeah, I forgot that Jason was from Seattle, so I still have to root for him a little bit for that. And Angelina is so young that if she had had to reminisce from 10 years ago, she wouldn't have been speaking yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel fine about Jason winning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, although that egg looked gnarly. That his soft cook egg that was destroyed.
Yeah.
Because he was sweaty and shaky. Ugh.
The shell looked like he kind of gnawed it off.
If we all knew how much our cooks were sweating in our food, I don't know if we'd eat out as much.
That's why it's so salty.
Yeah, that's why everything's so salty.
I guess Jason should have been nervous earlier, is what we learned.
Yeah.
Not enough salt. Do we think Jason can take a nice long ride in Last Chance Kitchen?
No.
Ooh, Sarah, say more.
No, I don't think so. I can't think of any chef currently competing who wouldn't very easily be able to beat him.
What about Philip?
Well, Philip has shown a knack for losing and not being able to cook to a palate of humans. So I could see Philip choking in Last Chance for sure.
Can we see Philip as robot, just based on your classifying him as not knowing what a human palate is?
No. He's not a robot. He's an alien. He is not from this planet. He is... he could be a robot alien. I guess that's possible. I don't want to discount that. But he is a spaceman and does not know what the Earth people eat.
This is Alex's unified theory of Philip.
I wish, because I was just in LA a couple weeks ago, I wish I'd gone to his restaurant and seen his giant head on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
True.
Building. Sarah, you don't see Jason winning at least one?
No, I think it would have to be, just a really big fluke if he did. I mean, maybe because he's more well-rested and he's got some nice facial hair going on that he didn't before.
Nice.
He has facial hair now.
I don't think so. I think that his talent level, at least from what he's showcased, I think it's just so far below that, all other things being equal, I don't think he's going to win again.
Yeah. And he was
it's
that,
hard to imagine him
he was that messed
back.
Up in 20 minutes. I don't know. Yeah, I don't see a lot of future for him. But also, I just like I don't think any even if like Kwame got eliminated had gotten eliminated that week, it's just you have to run the table. It's just unlikely that anybody gets through still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Did anyone else notice that the peanut gallery was basically just talking amongst themselves for this entire challenge this time?
They're there to make friends. This is your last chance to network.
Yeah. Yeah. Last chance to make friends. Last chance to be on TV. Yeah. But also, unlike unlike previous LCK challenges, this one was pretty straightforward. Your fridge is right there. There's not a lot of heckle opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they really probably didn't have time to...
So, Ezra, do you think that that Jason can become a rat king?
Oh, I think anyone has the potential to become a rat king.
You just get your tail all tangled in somebody else's tail, and then you find another rat, and you get their tail tangled. And
just hard. Keep on going.
Yeah.
After that, it's all over but this spine fusing, so...
I should say, guys, you might all become rat king someday. You don't even know.
I do sometimes worry about that when Megan and I are holding hands, that they'll get fused together.
Yeah, that's a legitimate risk.
It's worth it. It's worth the risk.
You should stop smearing your hands with so much glue. But, you know, we've talked about that before, and you've given me all your answers as to why you don't do that.
So strongest glue that I can find.
It helps seal in the moisture, doesn't it? Yeah. Alex?
Oh boy. And the love, that's what we call that. That's pretty close.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to predictions, y'all. What are we feeling? Who do we think is next?
Who's next?
Who's gonna ride higher? Do we think Amar is on a winning streak, or is his flame burning a little too bright?
So I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I thought Kwame, although I love him, might have been peaking a little early. Today he's showing some. This week he showed some signs of cracking. I think Amar peaked last week. And yeah. He's probably going to go home soon. I think we've seen as much of Amar as we're going to.
Hmm.
I'm a little worried for him. I think Philip is 1 or 2 weeks out. I think he's crumbling.
It's got to be soon, right? Yeah.
There's a lot of desperate guessing that just keeps happening.
Yeah. I think he's going to eventually hit on the perfect formula, though, and just then crank that out for the rest of the time. Like I think he's like he's nearly there.
That would be great.
Bold prediction.
Yeah, if he was really right, and like all of a sudden Tom's like, wow, I just really like this food.
I don't know, dialed into my taste.
Yeah, yummy, but not too yummy.
Yeah, you know the technique is so, but who cares? Because it's exactly what my palate is: a little too spicy and a little too salty. Yeah.
I'm just picturing Tom and Padma and Gale like in a row, just going yummy, 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 yummy.
Yeah. They'll attack the source code.
Well, here's the thing, is if Philip doesn't go next week, that means he probably gets to make it into a Restaurant Wars episode.
Oh,
yeah, right. Anything can happen then.
Really, no.
Really hard time believing
Philip goes home in Restaurant Wars, for sure.
Mm. Yeah.
What? Like,
that's it. I'm willing to make that prediction. Philip takes over, doesn't do well, he has to fall on the sword.
Yeah.
And then he gets to pretend that it wasn't his fault.
Oh, I don't know, though. I feel like his embitterment about... like trying to understand what the people want and getting it wrong and wrong and wrong. And even if he veers off course from what he thinks is cool and manages to nail it with the judges, he's going to be so frustrated by that and like not pleased that like his true food isn't winning that I feel like he's going to take himself out at the knees before he has a chance to ruin Restaurant Wars.
I mean, we only have one more before Restaurant Wars. So he only has to, you're saying he'll do that this week and then not make it to the next week.
I would not be surprised. I feel like he's ripe for a meltdown.
I mean, he definitely is. And what's fun, he was obviously accomplished chef, but we are past the point in the show where it would seem like a shocking elimination. I think we're ready for him to go. But I wouldn't be surprised if he hung on one more week, because Amar's going to go home next week, and then he goes home during Last Chance Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think Amar was showing signs of that much weakness. Like, he's been underground for so long, he could go underground again.
And that's why.
Yeah. And he's so jovial, he seems well-liked, so that means Restaurant Wars, he could, you know, get along in the back with the other chefs.
I wish he was going to get a chance, Chris. You're right, it's very sad.
Yeah.
I actually think Chad is showing some signs of, his technique just doesn't seem as deep.
I don't know who Chad is.
I feel like
did you say you don't know who Chad is?
No.
He's the one. He has a beard and
he's Navy.
He's from San Diego.
Yeah.
Or he was in San Diego in the Navy.
Did he make a ceviche?
He cooks for his kids.
Sure did.
Yeah, he cooks for his kids.
Well, I'm sure I'll recognize him when I see him again.
He was the one that went and stood against a wall for a long time.
He had a sad because he didn't drink for weight loss reasons.
Yeah, good for him.
I think it was more than just weight loss. The only other person I wanted to bring up was, how do we feel Isaac is going to fare? Cajun man. Is he going to hang in? He's going to start making stuff look cute again?
Final four. Isaac.
I think final four is a safe guess with him.
Really? Oh, what? Man.
Really?
I hope so. But...
No, I think Isaac has got to be one of the top few. I think he's really got it.
I would like to see either Marjorie or Karen, Chad...
Chad in your final four.
Don't know who that is. It's kind of weird.
I think Chad has more to give. And
need more Chad.
I think it'd be great to see Kwame make final four.
Yeah, I like Kwame, Marjorie, Swamp People. Not Chad. Jeremy. I don't know who that is.
Do you like Jeremy?
Yeah, he's up there for me.
Oh, I want Carl.
I think
Date Shake sneaks in too.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, couldn't be more sure who Carl is, and Alex, you have no idea who Carl is?
I know Carl because Carl's Date Shake, and I didn't know who he was until Megan told me that he was Date Shake.
I'm sorry. Now I'm getting my Carls and my Chads confused.
Chad, yeah. Couldn't tell you. Chad could be on fire. I wouldn't know who he is. Hey,
I think Marjorie is.
I mean, fire can also be very hard to tell who someone is. Like, you know, it really disguises
the
people.
That's how I identify
Wait,
people.
I think I'm getting my C names all mixed up. I want Carl to go to the Final Four, not Chad.
Tanya, you're married to Chris.
Oh, no.
Chris, I want you to go to the
there
Final
was a
Four.
Big mix-up at the factory.
I thought you were Chad.
Oh, no. I think Carl's technique is he's shown consistent, you know, consistently good stuff. Marjorie, consistently good stuff. I still like Jeremy and Kwame, and I think it's Carl, Jeremy, Kwame, and Marjorie in the top four.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Great. Let it be so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. Coming out of here.
It's going to be
hopefully everybody we want
Omar
gets the lemon.
But after that.
No limes, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that brings us to our conclusion for the week. This has been great. Chris?
Yeah?
Is that a lime?
What?
No,
never.
Chris.
Chris, get out.
Did you not read the contract?
I've had a good run.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week for more Top Chef chat, possibly Top Ceviche chat, definitely more lemons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been real.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Mailed it.